episode 27 of Drunk on Comics, starting now.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you decide to listen to this. We are your normal Drunk on Comics crew.
Hey.
Hey, we're normal. I don't think you opened that beer close enough to the mic.
I didn't open it close enough to the mic. But it's a Sam Adams Chocolate Bock. And in case you're going out to buy some beer later on, you should totally buy the Seasonal Variety Pack because it has the best Samuel Adams beers. Not that we're being sponsored by them. I just like to share good beer.
It would be cool if we were, though.
It would be cool. You know, Sam Adams... You can get in on this action.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just like sharing good beer.
We would
people.
Definitely make more interesting commercials than what they're out there right now, which is just the founder of Sam Adams. I hate that guy.
Well, there goes our potential sponsor.
Thanks, Kevin.
He's a great guy.
So this is completely different, but we were sitting out at the bar last night talking comics, and I was tweeting at the same time. And talking, like, one of the guys on there, the Fat Lantern, which I love that name. He's great. But he's like, anybody else being nerdy? And I'm like, yeah, we're sitting at the bar talking comic books. I'm like, this is like full frontal public nerdity. So, anyway, my name's Derek.
My name's Tony.
My name's Matt.
Kevin, that's my name.
So, welcome, guys. Let's just kick it off and get right into Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is brought to you this week again by Inter-Comics. They are your source for all your comic book needs. Located in the UK, but they ship worldwide. Go check them out. They're awesome. They got blogs. They got fun stuff on there. So, warning, before we get into the Off the Shelf, we are going to spoil things about what happened in the book. We talk about content, we talk about all this stuff, so if you want to read your books first, go do so, then come back. Otherwise, we're going to spoil it.
We're going to spoil it like finding out that your date has a penis when you didn't think that your date should have a penis. I mean, unless you're a chick and you're dating a guy, and then that's a good thing.
Or if you're a guy that likes the penis, which, you know, hey. Mm-hmm. You know,
Robin, but we're just saying that surprise, like, that unexpected twist.
Yeah, it's
like some comic books have in them.
It's going to be spoiled, you know, in the sense that if you weren't expecting a penis.
Yes.
Right.
And like those unexpected twists, we might give some of those unexpected twists away to you, our audience.
And just like a date, we're going to give away spoilers like you could give away herpes?
Yeah.
We have the gift that keeps on giving.
And moving along.
All right. I'll start off the shelf with something I hold near and dear. Transformers Prime, Rage of the Dinobots, number one. As listeners might not know, if it's one thing that I cherish from my childhood, it's Transformers. You guys know this by looking around my house and seeing the many toys that I have.
You mean like not being able to walk through your house without stepping around a Transformer or getting shot by one or...
Yeah, it's because my nephew comes over and plays with them.
Yeah, your nephew, who I've never met.
Yeah, your nephew who's 10 months old.
Shut up, guys. All right. So anyways, this, besides just being about Transformers, this one is about the Dinobots, who are the best of all the Transformers. Now, this is a 1-in-4 series. It's written by Mike Johnson and Margaret Scott. Art by Augustin Padilla,
and this is an IDW book. Did you say
yes?
Okay.
I'm going to start off by saying that this is a good book if you know what's going on. Now, I've read some of the More Than Meets the Eye Transformers series, a few here and there. I know that Optimus Prime is comic book dead right now. This story, however, just jumping into it, I believe.
What, Kevin?
He's comic book dead.
Yeah. He's not real dead.
Yeah. He's not animated series dead?
Nope.
And he's obviously not movie dead.
Yeah. Well, he was for a minute in that one movie.
Yeah, well, that's like being comic book dead.
All right, getting back to the cool Transformers.
To the pride.
You guys are ruining. This is my favorite-ness.
Okay.
Now I lost my thought, and I just want to say this.
You lost your thought like Grimlock.
Me, Grimlock. Anyway, so this book is about the Dinobots, and trying to figure out where this falls in canon, I'm starting to realize this is about the new cartoon series Transformers Prime, which has nothing to do with the toys I've grown up with, so the storyline's different, which kind of sucks as a reader that I'm reading an alternate universe. Kind of like the Ultimates, where you kind of know what's going on, but you don't. Which is a good thing, but a bad thing. I want to kind of know where these guys fall in line, where the story sets place with the other ones. Well, I can just throw that out the window. From what I'm gathering, without having watched Transformers Prime, this is about Cybertron and the evacuation of it before they come to Earth. The Ark had just left. Optimus and Megatron are already gone from there. Shockwave is left on Cybertron. And what you're finding out is the Dinobots just got their dino form. I know that in some of the other series that I've read, Grimlock, his previous alt mode was like a giant tank. So they weren't always the giant dinosaurs walking around. So they're kind of confused of, are they more animals now that they got transformed into
Beast Wars?
So they're like transgendered Transformers?
Yes.
Trans-species.
It's kind of like if Optimus Prime went out with Grimlock and found out he had a penis.
So now they find out that they
on his childhood.
Since they know now find out they can transform into these dinosaurs, they're realizing that whatever, and they don't explain it in here, so I don't know if it's in one of the previous books or if it's going to allude to it later on, but they're saying about whatever they went through to get these new alternative modes, they're all bonded, which is kind of one of the core things of the Dinobots through all the other series, is they're their own group. And whether they kind of sometimes are bad, sometimes good, depending on the writer and what the story is about. In this, the other Autobots are kind of looking at them as if they are more beast than robot. So they're trying to kind of figure out that as well. Well, when they start transforming, this whole book is about destruction, and that's what's awesome about it, and that's what they should stick to. So what I'm going to say is, overall, I'm going to probably get the series to try to figure out what's going on. But like I said, even trying to explain this, it's about the Dinobots, it's about destruction, it's about awesomeness.
Like the Destructicons? Destruction?
No, I hope they have the Destructicons.
See, I could never get into the storyline of those because, I mean, I liked the cartoon when I was a kid, don't get me wrong, but, like, I have a hard time because, like, I don't really feel that they're relatable, so I guess that's why I've never really read them. I mean, like, are the characters more relatable in the comics, or is it just still the fun, cool, and that's why you read it?
Just the fun, cool, just destruction. I mean, I guess they are relatable if you've grown up with them and thought, man, that would be sweet to have that in my backyard and as a pet, but, like, just the multitude of destruction, and just the art is phenomenal.
Yeah. Who did the... I don't know if you said who did the colors, but the colors are really nice on that.
Yeah, I didn't see who did the colors.
So, that is pretty.
Oh, yeah, and there is an overall story. They're going after to try to find Ultra Magnus, but that doesn't really need to be a story. It just needs to be Dinobots kicking ass. That's all this book needs to be.
I got lost on half that, but it sounds fun.
does Grimlock still have T-Rex hands in this version?
He has C-low arms.
So, he went from an awesome tank to this.
Giant elbows. Mouth, bite your head off. He doesn't need hands to bite your head off.
That, now I just really want a CeeLo Transformer.
Turn into his parrot. Yeah. He wears white anyways.
Yeah, well, yeah, oh God.
Okay. All right, moving on, Kevin. What do you got for us?
I got Justice League 14. Another awesome book from Jeff Johns, Tony Daniels, Gary Frank.
Bad.
So.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, where we left off in 13 is the cheetah turned Superman into a cheetah.
Oh, yeah, I remember
powers?
That. Yeah. I was wondering how she could bite through his skin.
He actually, pierces... pierces his skin, and it apparently this the cheetah has the
she has Krypton cavities or Krypton fillings.
Yeah, magic bite.
Yeah,
yeah,
it could be magic. That's simple.
But they explain that and her origin, and they talk about her. The origin story for Cheetah is very interesting. It involves around like this specially made knife that was forged from pure evil.
The fires of Mount Doom.
Yeah. But and then they just kind of wrap up this story arc. They go to the Congo and they hunt down the cheetah and
it's okay.
They grab her and then next thing you know you're in Smallville and I almost said Captain Planet, but Superman and Wonder Woman, they're hooking up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, that was an unexpected.
You didn't know that they were hooking up?
No, I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is actually one of my favorite parts about talking comics with you, because you're surprised by everything.
I am. So I mean, it started off actually weak, and then actually the this whole romantic angle actually got me, and that was kind of cool. But then. When I picked this up, I'm like, oh, this is pretty thick, and it's about $3.99. And then, I don't want to say this is a two-for-one comic. Because, though the Justice League story was good, well-drawn, well-laid out, what got me was that there was basically another issue in here for Shazam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'd say that what I read in these 12 pages of Shazam, I'd say it almost is a little bit better than the Justice League that I read.
Shaquille O'Neal has a comic book?
was that the name of the movie, Shazam?
Yeah.
Shazam.
Well, and the character used to be called Captain Marvel, not to be confused with Marvel's Captain Marvel, everyone, because of his code word being Shazam, everyone says... Everyone knows him by that. That's a good reason.
Well, yeah, but there's also that like copyright thing of Marvel.
Yeah, there was a big legal thing.
Yeah, but they've been having those characters have existed side by side for decades.
Yeah.
So it's not recent. It's in the New 52. I heard the justification was, well, everyone already knows him by Shazam anyways. They think his name's
well,
Shazam.
That's
really
their
know
spin,
who Shazam
but
is?
Legally they can't, I believe legally they can't put Captain Marvel on their covers.
Still, Shazam is a dumb name.
Well, yeah. Now, Matt, I don't know if you are aware, though, but just so you know, since we're talking, because you should know this, DC and Marvel are doing a crossover Shazam Thor.
What?
Yeah. If
that
you
might be all right.
Well, yeah, you should listen to our podcast from last week, and you'll find out about it.
Which is funny is that, actually, I read that article, and I'm like, that's dumb. That sounds lame. But then, actually, I read this little 10-12-page insert in the back of Justice League 14, and I'm like, well, now that might actually interest me, and actually picking it up. I think it was done. It actually leads to a nice story arc of basically with the seven deadly sins.
Zordon, what do you need?
God, Tony, even your damn phone.
So so basically the seven deadly sins with are gonna come into reality and start kicking ass across the globe and Shazam.
Except for Sloth, who's just gonna sit on the couch all day.
Which is funny, actually. You say that, and actually Sloth is gonna be the first the first enemy.
That is bullshit. Sloth would always be the last one. It's like I'll get to it. God, I don't want to fight yet.
What's even funnier is that I keep mentioning Shazam, but he's only in a couple panels up here.
That's why you liked it so much. All right, Tony, you want to take the next one, or you want me to?
I already went. So.
Oh wow! I gotta quit drinking, Matt.
Go for it.
All right. Excuse me. All New X-Men number 2. I almost said number 1. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils by Stuart Immonen, and inks by Wade Von Grawbadger. Because that name is That's fucking nice. Awesome still.
Yes.
So, if anyone missed ANXM, or All New X-Men, ANXM doesn't really AM/XM?
AM/XM radio?
No, like, I've actually seen it, but, like a couple times already. But, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so if anybody missed the first issue, Beast went back in time to bring the original team of X-Men back to the present to kind of help stop current-day Scott Summers. And in issue two, they kind of explained the time travel enough, which I was like, all right, cool, good. Beast is still dying from yet another mutation. And, yeah, so that's kind of the backup. When they bring the team back, though, there were some cool things in here that I really enjoyed. Wolverine freaking out at the smell of Cyclops and then going to attack. Here's my question, though. Like, it wasn't until I went back and reread it that I didn't really notice it the first time. Why didn't he notice the smell of Jean Grey first?
Yeah. I kind of felt that the same way, but it's probably that Berserker Rage part of the brain.
And because you're just not thinking of Jean, and you just all of a sudden are thinking of, I want to kill Cyclops, I want to kill Cyclops.
He's always thinking of Jean, though.
He's kind of giving it up lately.
Yeah. So, the little X-Men, as they're so lovingly referred to here, and I think that was great, they end up going after Scott all on their own. They steal the steal the Blackbird, and that's kind of where we leave it. So I kind of want to just get into this because you guys, I know at least a couple of you guys read this, and it was just a lot of fun. I had my doubts about this book.
I thought now that I know that it seems that the team is coming up for a quick jaunt to the present time and will likely be put back into their present state, or I don't know, maybe some of them will stick around or something, but I don't know where it's going to go from here, but so far I'm happy with the way that they've come back from the past.
Yeah.
That Beast is like, I'm desperate. This is, you know, my last gamble to try to make things right.
I know I'm breaking the rules, but, but I got to try and do it. And honestly, I think Bendis is doing a great job on this story. I mean, I know, Matt, you're a huge Bendis fan.
I am a big Bendis fan.
You know, but I got to say, probably the thing that I'm enjoying most about this book so far, as far as the writing, is the dialogue. I mean, it fits the characters so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than I've seen people do on X-Men characters for years.
Well, I just love Wolverine. You get to finally see Wolverine teaching a class. Well, I guess you've seen him in other issues teaching class, but he's talking about the Ninja Master. If the Ninja Master is in front of you, then you have to expect that other ninjas are on the side or behind you, because a Ninja Master is only going to do that if he's the bait. And then he goes, wait, I smell Scott Summers. And just leaves class to go kill Scott.
Yeah.
So.
It's awesome. Eminem's art's fantastic, but I'm a huge Stuart Eminem fan, so... I guess, basically, you know, the last thing on here is, like I said, I mean, the emotions from these characters are real. I think we might have, like, one of the better story arcs since maybe the 80s.
I hope they stay.
I
don't see how they can do that, but...
I don't know if I want to see Wolverine hitting on a teenage Jean Grey again. I saw that in Ultimate X-Men.
I don't really see him doing that. There's being in love with someone, there's also...
I totally see him doing that. He's an animal, Tony. He's an animal.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
And he's like, Canadian.
I can see him hitting on her.
What's statute of limitations and statutory rape and all that in Canada? I don't know. So, but I'm sorry, Kevin, what was that?
Oh, yeah. I see, I noticed in the last issue, this issue, she's drawn kind of hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Eminem can make a good character, but...
Yeah, I like Dinnaman's choice of making, when Wolverine's sleeping, he's got his butt up in the air like a baby.
it's funny, just like you were saying. I think this humor, there's a perfect matchup between the humor and the style of the characters.
Yeah,
so, well, I mean, I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this book, because I've definitely been burned by stories that don't really go anywhere before, so... But as of now, I am totally, I'm still double fisting two full mugs up on this book, and I'm excited about it.
Watch them totally do time travel and reset all this from ever happening.
No. Oh, wait, I just realized. I'm excited. Yeah.
Enough of that.
Did you just say all something? Yeah. The room just went silent for a moment.
That's going to be Marvel's new next story arc, because they've used every X word possible. We're excited.
All right. Well, I am going to finish up my review of the new Avengers number 34, even though really it's not 34 because there was a lot more new Avengers, but they, you know, at some point renumbered. This is Brian Michael Bendis' last story, art by Mike Diatto, and color and artist by Rain Barreto. Good story finishing up the revenge of Daniel Drum, Brother Voodoo's ghostly brother, who blames Doctor Strange for his brother's death back in New Avengers. I think when they started renumbering him again, it was their first major story arc. I like it. It's fun. He's getting his butt kicked. I like that there was basically Strange has to go up against all the Avengers because Daniel Drum is just possessing them and making them beat up Strange. And so he's trying to fight them all at the same time without hurting them because they're his friends. And there's a lot of, in the middle of it, a lot of cover guest artists come in and do little one pages where they, you know, show the different people that Strange is fighting. You have different artists. Some of them I really like, some of them and not so much. But overall, I like the fact that you got a lot of different artists involved in this book. So that was really nice to see. But again, the major artist for it is Mike Diatto, and his art is very beautiful. I know he's had a really long run of drawing the Avengers with Brian Michael Bendis, and I've enjoyed it.
He did a fair amount of stuff on X-Men too. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, he does have a really nice style.
I guess the one thing that bugs me just a little bit about this is all of a sudden Doctor Strange figures it out. He says, "Oh, if I just use the dark arts against him, I'll beat him." And he beats him pretty handily once Doctor Strange says, "I'm going to cross that line into the dark arts," which I say I'll never do. And then he does. And then he beats up Daniel Drum pretty badly and vanishes his soul, basically, from the astral plane. Which saves all of his friends and makes everything better. But one of the really big turning points is the Ancient One is watching this from like the astral plane with Damian Hellstorm, the son of Lucifer. Who was one of the people killed by Daniel Drum. And they're, Daniel, or Hellstrom's saying, "Why aren't you, are you going to interfere? Are you going to do it?" He goes, "No, Strange got this." "Because you're not going to lift a finger to help him?" He goes, "No, he'll figure it out." And so Doctor Strange, much to the Ancient One's prediction, figures it out, saves this universe again from extra-dimensional threats. And the Ancient One comes back and says, "Here, you're the Sorcerer Supreme again. Here's the all-seeing eye of Agamotto." And so now Doctor Strange is back in his rightful place as Sorcerer Supreme. So there's a nice full story arc of him giving that up, and now he's back. The one thing that bugged me is I thought the Eye of Agamotto was lost when Jericho Drum, the Brother Voodoo, fought Agamotto himself back in an earlier story arc. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go back and look and then see if there's a continuity error. But I'm not going to complain because, you know, it's just fun to say Agamotto.
Yeah.
So. Final bits is Luke Cage had quit the New Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold back the Avengers mansion, which he bought for $1. He sold it back to Tony Stark for $5. And
that greedy bastard.
Yeah, he makes a comment about, "I made a profit on it. I thought you'd appreciate that, Tony." And Tony goes, "I do, actually." But they're walking away, and Luke starts talking about reopening Heroes for Hire. So I'm sure there'll be a spin-off comic of that.
You know, okay, that kind of bothers me because I thought his whole reason for wanting to leave was the fact that he had a family.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's just going to do it for money instead.
Well, he's got to make money somehow.
Can't he market himself as like a spokesperson for?
Yeah,
just go on the concert.
Can he just ask, you know, Tony Stark? Could you just, you know, give me some money to protect my family?
Yeah, can I have $5 million?
Can I have a job? Like, you know?
Yeah. Work but, in the office. I do have one other question, Doctor Strange, and it's going to be a wah-wah-wah. But since he's a doctor, I'm warning you, this is going to be a horrible joke. Can he get sued for malpractice? Sorry.
Yes, if he performs surgery on you again.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's out of practice. Another good thing, in the end of Avengers last week, Brian Michael Bendis had an essay talking about, I know you guys talked about it last week, but talking about his run of the Avengers, which I know you guys mentioned, and I just want to repeat, Avengers Disassembled is when I started getting into comics regularly, and I pretty much followed all these Avengers titles. And in the back of the new Avengers one, there's a cover gallery of all the Avengers titles from Avengers Disassembled all the way through these issues that Brian Michael Bendis has done.
That's pretty cool.
232 of them, I believe, is the final count. And of them, I pretty much have almost all of them.
You have like 229,
probably. Yeah, I didn't get the Avengers Prime, which came out when the Heroic Age started. Mm-hmm. I didn't get those ones. But pretty much everything else on this list... Oh, and the Avengers Assembled, which was like the movie comic book one. But almost everything else I've got, so... Big fan, thank you, Brian Michael Bendis, and I'm enjoying reading what you're doing in all new X-Men. So.
Yes, thanks for listening to hear Matt's thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And if you are listening, you know, let us know.
All right, where are we going, Tone?
Let's start off. Let's go down Indy Turnpike.
We're going to do Indy Turnpike early. All right. Indy Turnpike, for those of you that are not familiar with our show... We kind of give a shout out to a book that's not one of the big two. And this week I have Robin Hood number 3 of 5 from Xenoscope. It's written by Pat Shand. Art is by Rob Dumo. And colors are by Adam Metcalf. Now, a little background. Robin is a girl who was born in the Realm of Mist. She was transported and hidden on Earth.
R-O-B-Y-N.
Yeah, Robin. Yeah. It's girl Robin. You know.
It's like your Aunt Robin.
You ever see the Kevin with a Y?
No.
Yeah. That's out there.
Is it?
That's there.
Yeah.
That exists someplace.
So, anyway, she's been brought back to the Realm of Mist to free the people from evil King John. And as you can guess, this book is kind of a new version take on the classic Robin Hood story. In this issue, the king has decreed that everyone in the kingdom is going to be required to compete in a contest so that he can try and draw Robin out. And one of the best parts about this issue is Robin joining up with the Merry Men, specifically her interactions with Little John and Will Scarlet. I am having a blast reading this, and Matt, this is 100% your kind of book. This is why I wanted to really talk about it, one of the main reasons. But this is my favorite issue out of all of them so far, and I rarely get caught up and completely lost in a story like this, but I'm having a ton of fun with it. I found myself smiling, like, at a couple different points through it, not just because, like, of the great dialogue or they're saying something humorous, but because of how clever Pat Shand has been in his retelling of this tale and kind of making it new and fun, so... The art by Dumo is really nice. It's a unique style, but it's also familiar for some reason. And can't really say why, but I do really enjoy it. The colors by Metcalf really accentuate it. There are a couple single pages in there that I just really liked, and I sat and looked because it's just got a good classic style to it as far as the art and the storytelling. This is a book I would recommend to pretty much everybody. You know, made me feel like a kid again, but there are some... serious situation, so it's not really an all-ages book. I'd say probably teen and up. But
she is kind of scantily clad.
Well, you know, there's some backstory issues where she got attacked when she was on Earth and, you know, by this guy who is clearly toying with and tormenting a prostitute in this book back on the Earth realm. So, I mean, there are some things that aren't for kids at all, but... I'm recommending people go buy this and go try and find the first two issues as well. I'm a huge fan. This is one of those books that I'm really glad that I took a chance on. I mean, this is what Indie Turnpike's all about for me, is going out and trying to find something different that I haven't read before, something that nobody else is talking about. You know, I recommend people go out and do it. Hands down, this is, you know, just a fun book for everybody, so definitely getting two mugs up.
Cool.
That's it. Tony?
I'm just staring at the cover.
Yeah.
I need to interrupt because I get often told, you know, maybe I should go back and listen to the old podcasts and stuff. So I did go back and listen to an old podcast with an interview by Mr. Tony Milo. Yeah, that guy. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, who told you to go listen to that? Was that
nobody.
Your brother?
I just was thinking, you know, I should do what Derek always says and go back and listen to it. And I remember snorting a pixie stick and being told I would get $20.
Damn it.
And being reminded
And by the way, Tony, you totally told your brother, too.
No, I didn't tell him anything. I just told him, God, man, that was a funny drunken interview we did. Mentioning it out loud.
I don't
loud.
Even remember what I do. Yay, Derek's paying up. I thought I was going to have to call him a cheapskate. But nope, he's a man of his word.
I do pay up on bets. Oh, that sucks. But I guarantee your brother's like, oh, no, Matt, you have to listen to it. There's something on there you have to listen to. Matt, you have to listen
did
to
I
it.
Did I do that, Matt? And you always tell the truth.
No, Matt never tells the truth.
I always tell the truth. It's if I say I give you my word, then you can tell that I'm telling the truth.
Yeah. Because, like, perfect example, trying to blame one of our friends on the little prank you played on your brother.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've learned your evil ways.
Well, Kevin, let's move on to you whipping out your long box.
Oh.
Surprise, Kevin's got
here,
a penis.
Let me just throw it on the table here. Slap.
Yeah.
Well,
it's going to burst some people's eardrums for listening to earbuds.
Well, the worst thing is they're going to be like, that is a huge long box.
So I whipped this out, and
we are children, yeah. And it's awesome.
And I picked this. I picked this up for like a quarter back in the day.
What is it, Kevin?
I'm getting there. It's like. Love, just easing into it.
Just trying to warm up the audience. Yeah.
You can't give the whole long box all at once. It's going to hurt her.
All right. So I read this, and actually I don't even think I read it completely. I think I just saw it. It was so stupid I just threw it to the side. But I uncovered it. I'm like, I like the NFL. So... So what I grabbed from my long box was NFL Super Pro Special Edition number 1
from Marvel Comics.
From Marvel. Yes, yes. So NFL for those overseas that's American football,
National Football League.
But they call it football is soccer or elsewhere.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you gotta say it's American football.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so any of these names ring a bell? Fabian Naziga, Jose Delbo, Bob Hall.
No.
Okay, well, it's from the early 90s, so...
Let me see.
Fabian to Deadpool.
Okay. Let me give you a snippet of the joy.
Is this Kevin reads his books on air again?
Yes. But I'm not going to show you guys the pictures there. Okay. Super Pro comes in contact with a bad guy and says, "Close, Einstein, but you missed the first down marker by the length of a chain."
Wah, wah.
There's lots of bad football puns and references in this book.
I feel like I want to read this book.
Any new material, I need to read this book.
I've been on the trail of illegal steroid production, but this little play from scrimmage didn't gain much yardage.
Wow. Yeah. So Super Pro. So what is his power?
He wears football equipment which protects him from getting a concussion.
They don't really explain that. No, they do explain it because they're representing the origin issue. There's a Starbucks that says representing.
Representing.
Not representing.
Representing.
I don't think they've actually gone back. This is a number one, so there wasn't like an issue zero.
Well... Yeah, but it's the awesome origin story. It says
it is awesome.
It does say it's
so.
The awesome
they don't really
origins.
Explain what he does. He just jumps really high. But so get this: this is how he gets his powers.
Wait, I thought this was the NFL, not the NBA.
Well, if there was NBA, there wouldn't be any fighting.
How's he get his
powers?
They'd
just be pushing around. He get okay. So a guy creates this uniform. And then he creates it with a bunch of chemicals. They don't explain what chemicals.
Steroids.
Yeah. So he gets in a situation where Super Pro, well, before Super Pro, he gets
in a situation where there's this burning room, these chemicals explode, gets on him, and because he was wrapped in old NFL films, there was a reaction between the film
the celluloid
and the chemicals that he gained super pro powers.
So kids, remember, wrap yourself in old game film before every game.
And before you set yourself on fire. What?
So this wow. story is about his origin story and him taking down Big Huge Steroid Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the guy that got his job.
Yeah. So to wrap it up, the best part is Super Pro goes against a big steroid guy. And, he has a heart attack. And he falls to the ground. And he says, I'm going to try to administer CPR. And then he looks around and sees a bunch of guys come towards him. And then the next panel, he's dead. Basically insinuating, I'm not going to perform CPR on this guy because I'll look like...
I'm making out with him.
Yeah. So he just let him die.
Yeah, well.
Wow. Cold-blooded.
Yeah.
And that was approved by the Comics Code.
Right.
Well, that's why they
so
originally they tried they showed him doing it, but then the Comics Code's like, no, that looks like two guys
saving people's lives are awesome unless it's gay.
Yeah.
So if you find Super Pro Special Edition,
wow,
pick it up
and then put it right back.
Oh, that's dying now.
Tony, is it too early to jump into news and notes?
No, it's definitely not.
Because this seems like a perfect segue on comic books that shouldn't be made. And we've kind of talked about one of them before, is in the situation from Jersey Shore, getting his own comic book. Kim Kardashian apparently had a comic book a while back, and a couple weeks ago we saw Honey Boo Boo has a comic book.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And now Lindsay Lohan has a comic book. Now, these are not made with, their approval. Unlike the situation's comic book, he wanted to have that made.
What was the situation?
Forget. What was the question?
The question. Where's the question? Where's the period? anyway. Next so... month. Lindsay Lohan's in this book called Infamous.
I'm just thinking, something you don't say on the first date.
Where's the period?
Yeah.
No, it's the second date where you're asking that.
So I said...
Because if the first date went well...
The period, a new comic book, comes in monthly installments.
The
bloodiest comic ever.
Oh, God!
We apologize to our female listeners for our insensitivity. And God bless you.
No, we don't apologize for shit.
All right, moving along, though. All right, so comic books about terrible celebrities that are kind of whorish.
Why the fuck? I mean, I know that all these are people just trying to bank on somebody else's name and make money off of it.
I haven't seen any of them, but I'm assuming that they will be showing these celebrities scantily clad. So it's like a soft core.
If they're doing that for Honey Boo Boo, you got a problem.
Now, this actually kind of reminds me of, I don't know, you guys probably didn't see it. Back in the late 90s, they had an issue of comics called Carnal Comics, where they featured a porn star in her, kind of a real life, and they show her work life. And
once again, Kevin, going right to the dirty books.
Obviously, I'm taking it. No one's read Carnal Comics?
No.
Nope. All right, I'll bring in Carnal Comics next time, and you guys will see if there's some similarities.
Yeah, Kevin's going to pull out his long box into some Carnal Comics. So
that's later to
do. All right, Tony, what else you got? Comics.
What else you got? That's just kind of my bitch about shitty comic books being made.
Oh, I can't wait to get Lindsay Lohan's comic. I think it will be great, like her acting career.
I loved her in The Love Bug.
Actually, I love Mean Girls. I hate to say it, but that's a great fucking
movie.
I've heard good things about Mean Girls.
I've never met anyone who did not like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was Lindsay Lohan so much as the fact that it's about really bitchy girls and we all know them.
Well, and it was great writing them. I mean, Tina Fey, was... Yeah. I think she was.
I think it's much more Tina Fey than Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
moving
here,
on.
Here, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are going to be X-Men again.
Yep.
Indeed.
And rumored, Hugh Jackman is in talks to reprise his role as Wolverine in it.
He wasn't really in it, though. It was just a cameo appearance.
Well, reprise his role of Wolverine.
Oh, from the first couples? Because I know in this new type of universe, he was, when they went to go recruit him, he kind of just was in the bar.
Well, yeah, but they're also going to go to the future. So my guess is he's probably not going to have a big role. It's probably going to be something in the future.
Well, that's one of the things I want to know, how they're going to do with the many different, you know, young actors and old actors.
Well, you got the two big ones.
Yes.
So,
But then this doesn't really follow, obviously, the comic book Days of Futures Past, where they're nowhere in sight.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that. Actually, yeah. If anything, I wanted to have it be its own thing. Take some elements from it and make it its own.
Yeah, I think that's what was the big success about X-Men First Class, is that it wasn't straight from the comics, and it actually deviated quite a bit. Fair bit that it surprised you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The thing that I liked about X-Men First Class is, yeah, I mean, and it's tough because I want it to stay true to the originals, but at the same time, what was more important to me is that they actually had the heart and the feeling of what those comics were.
Yeah.
And that was the most important thing. I don't think they really had those in the original three.
Mm-hmm. My only disappointment with the First Class was that they chose Havoc instead of Cyclops. I don't think that there was a big difference between the characters' powers and what they could do. And I think Cyclops would have been a better choice because he's such a Boy Scout and, you know, he's got such an important role later on. But other than that, though, I thought that movie was pretty well envisioned.
Yeah.
Well, talking about movies and envisioning, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the Justice League rumors.
Mm. Yeah, that should be interesting. I mean, that
let's just hope it's not like a Ryan Reynolds transition.
We'll see, though, but it's been denied by Warner Brothers, so it's still just rumor. It's speculated.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember what it was. Some rag show on TV, you know, like Entertainment, you know, Hourly or whatever the fuck all these things are.
Edition?
Yeah, it was one of those. Like, I mean, I was getting ready to go to bed, and they're like, this just released, you know, Joe Gordon. What? So, I mean, but of course they're going to deny it.
And there's been a lot of these rumors going around the last couple of weeks about this particular actor and this particular role. And I want to say that they would do something like this to... They really want to pull in the people that went to see Nolan's Batman films.
Yeah.
But I can't... Even if I would be okay with it, I still don't think I could be okay with a Justice League movie without a Bruce Wayne Batman. Even if you only explain who it is, everyone knows Batman is Bruce Wayne. And if you're going to have a Justice League movie, you need to have Wonder Woman, you need to have Superman, Kal-El, you need to have Batman, Bruce Wayne, you need to have Martian Manhunter, you need to have Flash, you need to have Aquaman.
But
you need to have Xana and Jaina.
No, they're not in the Justice League. And just saying names, though, doesn't take away from Justice League is iconic in a certain way for the certain people. You had Bruce Wayne Batman, who didn't trust anyone except for Superman, was kind of always trying to think of a one-up, doing the OMAC project in the background and everything. I don't see how they're going to make and establish a film like this without a Bruce Wayne-type Batman. Not only the mention that they're going to branch out into other films.
The biggest thing, too, is that the Batman world that Nolan created tries to feel very much like a real world.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real thing could happen. I mean, if Superman exists in the same world as Nolan's thing, why the hell didn't he show up in Gotham and take care of this bomb problem? And Bane and all of them, right?
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing in the comics. I mean, Superman does not give a fuck about Gotham, apparently.
Well, if it's been 5 months, I'm pretty sure the president is going to call in Superman. But it just, I don't think that these
or
two
Green
worlds,
Lantern,
I don't think,
or anybody.
Yeah, I don't think that these two worlds exist in the same space. And therefore, whatever they're going to do with the Justice League movie, it should kind of be separated from Nolan's world. So even having Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, whether he's going to be Robin, Nightwing,
see, I see him totally being a different Nightwing, because we already saw that Christian Bale didn't die at the end, so there is Bruce Wayne still there.
Yeah.
So I see this more being speculative of he'll be a side character, but it's also fueling the rumors so people will talk about Justice League.
Yeah.
I just don't
buy it. Not as good as the Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, the thing is, though, I mean, if we compare to what they did with X-Men First Class, they could go ahead and take this however they wanted if That's they true. Felt that it was...
A good story.
A good story and kept to the heart of everything. Yeah. So, are we all wrapped up on this one? I've got one other...
Yeah, that's about my
tangent. Okay. The Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is doing a gift drive. And it's kind of cool. Basically, if you go to cbldf.org, you can find all the stuff on there. But what they're doing is to raise funds for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. They are selling a ton of, like, trade paperbacks. People from Jason Aaron, Mike Allred. Let's see. Who else is in there? Evan Dorkin. Is in there, so you can get some milk and cheese, Kevin. Neil Gaiman. There's tons of people. Terry Moore. You know, Matt and Tony are doing hieroglyphics with their hands.
Sign language.
Yeah.
American sign language.
That's it.
It sounds like a really good book. It's got a lot of good artists on it, and it's for a really good cause. So
yeah, and basically you go in there and you can select one of them, and then they'll personalize it and autograph it and ship it out to you. I mean, yeah, it's not cheap, but it's cool. And the money goes to, you know, a great cause. Comic Book Legal Defense Fund does a ton for what we love. So that's why I wanted to give that a shout out. So that's pretty much it on that one. Last one I had then isn't really, it's kind of Tony news because it's not really news, but it's kind of maybe somewhat news sometimes.
It just is.
Yeah. Marvel Comics teased the new... like story arc of X Termination, and I'm not excited about it yet.
Yeah.
But all it shows is Wolverine fighting Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's coming out March 2013.
Well, as Matt was saying earlier, didn't they already do an X Termination? Like, I don't get some of their...
They've already used the X pun before.
I know you have. That's why I just said
they've already used that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've used everything, you know. And the worst one was X Sanction. What the fuck is X Sanction?
God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I don't know. It's out there. You know, we're still on the heels of, you know, getting over. I wish that they would not quite have to run with the new story. So damn fast.
Well, I don't need this event. I'm hooked on all new X-Men, and that's phenomenal. We don't need an event right now.
No, we don't.
Let's lay off the event.
Let's just wait until... we're just talking about this for, like soon? Or
March.
Isn't Ultron coming on?
Yeah, I was going to say, Ultron's supposed to be starting up in March, too. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to have multiple events happening at the same time?
I don't know. Other than the fact that, you know, in March it's basically starting con season and maybe they want people to have shit to talk
just
about.
Run with what you got going on with Marvel now. I mean, you just started that.
Yeah, well, by March it'll be Marvel then. So,
well, it's just like, what was Schism going on around the same time as Fear itself?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't think I followed Schism at all because I was watching stupid Fear itself.
I didn't follow Fear itself. Prelude to a Schism. Yeah, I want that part of my life back. But.
I followed both of them. I want double my life back.
God, I'm surprised you're still alive after both of those. So, there. That's pretty much it. And Tony, did you have any other news?
Nope, I did not. There was really no news this week. It was kind of...
I mean, there was a lot of stuff, but like nothing like what I consider newsworthy.
Well, I say,
not in our world.
Because I mean, we're in December. I mean, isn't the news going to start slowing down a little bit? And
we're just gonna get big lists of like the top 10 of 2012. Top 10 comics.
It's time for our top ten list season.
Man,
we're gonna have to come up with our own top 10 list.
I want a top 10 list of top 10 lists.
Ooh, that's a good
Stephen
one.
Stephen Colbert has that, and he also he took his top 10 numbers, and the new number one is number 5.
Nice.
It's the best
number. Let's just move on to booze in a book.
Booze in a book. All right, booze in a book this week is Bedlam, number 2 from Image Comics, written by Nick Spencer, art by Riley Rossmo, and the cover was by Fraser Irving. I'm pairing it with Cabin Fever Brown Ale from New Holland Brewing Company, which has a 6.25 alcohol by volume. I'm putting them together because they're both beautifully fantastic. They're both very dark. Both, you know, like, they kind of sneak up on you. Both of them do. But moreover, the Bedlam, the comic book, is a lot like the real symptom of Cabin Fever, where it kind of makes you feel a little bit unsure of what's real and what isn't real, and drink too much of the actual Cabin Fever beer, and you might be thinking that same thing. So, awesome beer, awesome book, and that's it on that.
All right. That's it for me right now.
Last call.
Last call?
I got a couple last calls. Thor God of Thunder, number 2, continuing the story about Gore, the God Butcher. Pretty freaking awesome. I'm still enjoying that, so...
Yeah, happy. I didn't pick up 2.
I'll let you read it. It's good.
I'm glad you liked it, because I really wanted to ask you about that.
And then, I know it's a couple weeks old, but I finally saw it in the comic book shop. I got the X-Babies, or A-Babies versus X-Babies, and...
If you guys could really see Matt's, like, smile, he's like, I got so 10-month happy
old,
about this.
I got 10-month old, and my dream is that, you know, when he's 1 here, he'll start talking and pretending like he's a superhero. And
dude, that I mean,
unless he's pretending that he's Pyro,
that's not an okay.
See, that just brings me to Superman Family Adventures. It's just cute, fluff, excellent. Writing.
It
style,
doesn't pretend fun. To be something it's not. We're doing a one shot here. We're taking that storyline that you did before. We're having some fun with it. I know Derek doesn't get it.
I don't get it actually, and that's gonna bring me back to something else that I don't get. And I gotta ask, did anybody here...
Sex?
Well, yeah, I haven't had that in a while. But, oh, damn it. Here's my question. Did anybody here pick up My Little Pony's Friendship is Magic?
How'd you know? I did not ever think or hear that.
Dude, I got that for Tony for Christmas.
I noticed how many different variant covers they had. A, B, C, D, E, F, and then retailer exclusive...
For
Detroit comic book shops.
Yeah, it's huge.
For the My Little Pony?
Now, I understand that I mean, it's big enough that they've got My Little Pony conventions somewhere.
Bronies?
Yeah, bronies. The guys that love My Little Ponies are bronies.
But, I mean, I can't believe that there's big enough that they needed that many different covers.
Well, okay, my local shop that I go to, I went in, and it was lunchtime on Wednesday, and there was still a stack of them there, and I picked them up, and I was looking, and the owner came over, and he goes, you getting that? And I'm like, no. I go, I just don't understand. He goes, I don't know either. He said, you should see how many of them we had to pull for people ahead of time. They had a huge stack. He goes, we're burning through them. He goes, I don't expect us to have, and like, they bought a ton. He's expecting to sell out, and he's already placed a reorder on them.
That is the one that's cartoon insane. Weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when the first My Little Ponies came out here, like, a month-ish ago, it outsold, like, one of the big X books that month. I'm like, I don't fucking get it. And I've tried asking people, what is it? And nobody can give me a straight answer other than, the story's really great.
Well, a tip to the cap to IDW for taking the risk and marketing for going with it. Yeah, because I mean they're going to get the benefit of it. And
yeah, yeah. So
I remember seeing like a My Little Pony with same Brony. I thought it was like supposed to be like ironic, like ha ha, like I'm so cool that I can get a tattoo of a pony, you jabroni, but they shortened it to Brony.
No,
that's a real thing.
I can't believe it's a real thing.
Yeah, so
have you guys heard of clompers?
What?
Clompers?
Are these like furries?
No, they're apparently. I don't.
Okay, all right. I knew someone was going to bring that up because I know furries, and they're not like totally weird people. They just have a hobby that they're like, I find this enjoyable, and I think that's where it goes here. I still don't understand it necessarily, but
The furries I'm talking about are the sexual deviant furries.
Okay, yeah,
the ones that like to have sex while they're wearing their teddy bear costumes.
I'm sure your friends.
I'm not going to comment on it.
So, Kevin, what are clompers?
Clompers. I heard this on another podcast. Basically, it's men who love My Little Pony so much that they'll clomp their.
They'll get coconuts together?
And they'll jerk off to it.
Oh.
And with that note, we hope that you have a happy holiday season.
Is that a finding a surprise penis kind of thing?
That's the spoiler of them all.
All right.
Derek, you have any other last calls since we've kind of got off?
Oh, yeah. If you need a palate cleanser.
I actually have a last call, and I have something else to say. I feel like I need to say something after I just said that.
I feel like I need a shower after that.
I feel like, Kevin, you know way too much about clompers.
No, I see. I'm in a hole. I can't get out. Superman 14. Pick that up.
Okay.
That's my last call.
X-Men Legacy number 2, pretty cool. I'm getting sick of the twice monthly comics. They're killing me, but that one's really good. Astonishing X-Men Annual number 1 was
I like how that you like X-Men Legacy now, cuz you hated it.
I did. But now that they restarted and they are only dealing with Legion and I did not like the writing. I did not like the art. There was a lot of stuff on the last X-Men Legacy that I just... And I didn't give a shit about the characters. Mm-hmm. So, and then Ghost number 2 from Dark Horse. Those are my last calls for this week.
I only picked up FF number 1, and it was so I guess...
So maybe give it a shot if you like
it. Take her
home if she's the last one at the bar.
Your comic shop's out of all comic books.
Yeah. It's Kevin's comic shop.
Well, I'm trying to keep inventory low.
Yeah. You're wasted at the end of the night. Yeah. Let's see if the plumbing still works. I'm going to go fuck that sea donkey over there.
Sea donkey?
Yeah.
I've heard of sea cows, but not sea donkey.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Sometimes. All right, guys. I guess we're going to wrap it up here. Anybody got anything at the end?
Nope, just listeners, we finally did get our last call section up on our website, so do check that out. We will have some quick snippets of the comic books that we've just talked about for last call, some other, you know, stories that maybe you might want to pick up and give you a brief summary of what we thought about them. So definitely check that out.
Find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. Those are big. We should be doing some updates to Artist Alley here, hopefully this week if we haven't done them yet already. So get some other fun stuff up there too.
Yeah. And with that, it's the holiday season. So,
it's not really the holiday season anymore.
Christmas is still coming up.
Well, yeah, and so is Hanukkah, and so is everything else, but it's not the season, I don't think, till the week it's happening.
Well, yeah, but they're all happening at different weeks.
So we celebrate them each week when it happens.
Yes, more presents.
Yeah.
So anyways, listeners, thanks for listening. I'm Tony on behalf of Drunk on Comics, and everyone give a big shout-out saying goodbye on 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Derek, where are you?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios. Penis.